I began last week a series of stopping a negative, starting a positive series, five of them, leading up to the revitalization weekend that our director of missions has began to put together for November 3rd and 4th. And so last week we talked about one to stop. Stop complaining. You know, complaining, if you become a person of complaint, if that's what you're known for, is that's how you walk in the door and people say, okay, what's he complaining about? What's she complaining about now? It's a worthless witness. You cannot lift up the name of Jesus Christ if you are constantly turning out the lights and complaining. Today we're going to talk about what to do instead. We're going to talk about being thankful. Now, kind of setting this up, ask yourself a few questions. Have you ever felt like you were all alone? You ever felt like there was nothing left? Nobody cared? You didn't know where to turn? It happens to us all from one time to another. We battle that those emotions in our lives. In the Old Testament, there's a couple of illustrations. One of them is Job. If you've read the book, if you've been with us on Wednesday nights when we went through the book a little slower than we did a few years back, and you know that he lost everything. He did nothing to deserve it, but he lost all of his family, but his wife. He lost all of his possessions. He lost his place in society. He lost his health. He became ill, and his friends come along and they just make it worse. They say, well, Job, if you hadn't sinned, this wouldn't have happened. And the Bible says he hadn't sinned. They were wrong. And that's a place where some people get, and they don't know how to get out of that place. There's another story. It has to do with all of the children of Israel. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. Jeremiah was one who came before God to say, here's what's going bad, God. Help us. Help me. He was one who had experienced all of Jerusalem being overrun by the enemy, Babylon. The Babylonians came in and they overwhelmed the army, they captured the city, they destroyed the temple, they carried off and plundered everything they wanted. Even the people were carried off into captivity. The prophets and the priests, many of them were killed, and Jeremiah lived through that. And he experienced all that Holocaust of Jerusalem way back then. And he wrote as he lamented. He wrote these words, I became a laughingstock of all my people. And what he was saying there is he was faithful to God, but the people had turned because God had punished them and now they turned against God. He said, they mocked me in song all the day long. He's filled me with bitter herbs and he's given me gall to drink. And he's broken my teeth with gravel and he's trampled me in the dust. And I have been deprived of peace. You ever felt that? You felt that? I've been deprived of peace. I don't know where the attack's coming from, but it's coming from all directions. He said, I've been deprived of peace. I've forgotten what prosperity was. So I say my splendor is gone and all that I've hoped for is gone from the Lord. And I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, and I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. And when we see people going through these difficult times in their lives, sometimes we trivialize it. I don't want to get involved. It's not my concern. It's not my business. I don't want to know. Sometimes we laugh about it. He said, I've become a laughing stock to the people. And we shouldn't be that way. What do we do? Where do we go? How do we get through this? Who can help us? In today's story in Luke chapter 17, I hope you'll go ahead and turn there because we're going to talk through this in just a moment. We're going to find 10 adults, 10 men who are going through all of this in their own personal lives. 10 men who were who were no laughing matter. And they didn't consider it a laughing matter. They were men who were lepers. Leprosy was a terrifying disease in the day of Jesus and before them. It, according to medical records, they think that the first leprosy was diagnosed probably 600 years before Christ was born. The word leprosy is found about 68 to 70 times in the Bible. It's always referring to an infectious skin disease that usually leads to death because they had no cure. And if you were to come close to someone who was totally covered with it, the smell would be putrid. The visual would make you want to regurgitate. It was incurable. It was a contagious. And in its latter forms, fingers and toes would fall from their bodies and even go blind if in times. And they were outcast. Outcast from their family, outcast from the community, outcast from the church. They were outcast, rejected. They were told they couldn't come around people. And wherever they went, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean, lest somebody accidentally stumble into their little group or come too close to them. And even touching a leper would cause people to be considered unclean. They were totally, absolutely, completely rejected by society. Now it says in verse 11 in chapter 17, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus never lingered long. Jesus did not establish a church. He didn't set up a small group. Well, he had a small group, but he didn't leave them in one place. He took them with him from place to place. So this is a normal part of Jesus' ministry. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, which was the safest place. It was considered the main road, north and south. And as he was going into a village, along that road would be many small villages. We encountered that in Peru, especially once we got out of Lima and we went up into the mountains, and there would be, the roads would be winding and turning and up and down, and there would be little villages here and there and yonder all over the place where groups of people lived. We probably saw hundreds of them on our travels just back and forth. And so he was going into a village, just a particular village, and just in this one village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Now, there's a lot of controversy about what's going on here. These 10 men are standing outside the village because they can't come in. They're only so close to this main road because they couldn't come too close, or they would be stoned. And they didn't want to be stoned. They were already in pain. They were already hurting. And standing out there most of the days, they would say, unclean. And then they would holler. Whoever was going down the road, they'd call them Lord. They'd call them Master. Help us. Give us some food. Give us something. Most of the time, they got nothing but disdain from whoever they were traveling by. But there they were. He met them, and they stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Now, we can assume by the fact that they knew his name that they may have known some of the things that was going on in Jesus' life, some of the ministries. Maybe they'd heard of some of the healings and whatever. We don't know that for sure, but they did say, have mercy, have pity on us. Now here in verse 14, it says, and when Jesus saw them, he didn't go to them. It doesn't say he touched them. As with the blind man, he didn't spit in the ground and make spittle and place it in his eyes and say, go wash this out, go do something else. It just says that when he saw them, he spoke to them and he said, go. Now that's the same word, same Greek word, that where Jesus says, go ye therefore, as you are going. It is a mandate for us to remember. He says, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, in the Old Testament, I believe it's Leviticus chapter 14, are the rules about leprosy. And if you have leprosy, these guys are shunned and cast out of town and they can't come back. But if there's a remission, then there's a process. If there's a healing, there's a process whereby they can go to the priest. The priest will ceremonially cleanse himself. Then he will come up there and look at this individual and he will declare clean or unclean. And that's what Jesus was saying. He was saying to these men, go to the church. Go to the priest and do what the Old Testament law has told you to do and have yourself declared clean. And as they went, it says, as they went. See, Jesus didn't heal them on the spot. But as they went, the scripture says, they were cleansed. There's a lot of truth that can be preached right there about going. Just going. And doing whatever it is that's on your that God puts on your heart so that you can be cleansed in life itself. So let's finish up. So as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15. One of them. When he saw that he was healed, when he looked down at his skin and his fingers had been restored, his sight was clear. His body was clean. He no longer smelled. He had dirty clothes, but he was healed. And he realized what had just happened. He said, one of them, when they saw that he was healed, came back, praising God. And he just kind of wanted, didn't want anybody to know, didn't want to disturb anybody. We don't want to get too excited in church. Don't say amen. Don't clap if something's really stirred your spirit. Hey, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus! Okay, I just woke 14 people up. In a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. Now, I don't want anybody jumping in any pews. I'm not professing that. Run up and down the aisles. But folks, we need to thank the Lord. Amen. We need to praise Him. Yeah. We need to worship Him like we're supposed to worship Him. Revitalization happens one person at a time. It doesn't happen because there's going to be a meeting. It's not going to happen because there's a program. We're not going to hand out a piece of paper. We're not going to buy any books. It's going to happen when one person turns back, praising God in a loud voice, throwing ourselves at Jesus' feet and thanking Him. And then there's a little addendum to the sentence. And he was a sorry, low-down, no-good Samaritan. What? Why is that there? Because the Jews despised the Samaritans. They hated the Samaritans with the depth of their heart. They were the scum of the earth. And yet he's the only one who has come back and asked and thanked God and praised Him for what happened. Verse 17. So Jesus asked, were there not 10? I'm sure there were 10. Yeah, there were 10 lepers cleansed. Where are the other 9? Where are they? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? So then he said to him, rise. And every time a child comes to God and has been cleansed of their sins, Jesus says, rise. Rise up. And then he said, go. There it is. As you're going, continue to give thanks. Continue to praise God. Do it in a loud voice. Let people know what's going on. Because your faith has made you, the King James says, whole. Mine says, well. Another says, sufficient. You have been saved by grace through faith in the Spirit of Christ. Jesus' three questions, were there not 10? Where are the other 9? And has nobody returned from my people? The people who know God, who are called of God, God's chosen, no one come back but this foreigner? He's not even one of us. He was despised. But he turned back. You see, he didn't go to the temple. See, if he'd have shown up at the temple, he'd have been rejected again. You're a Samaritan. You can't come in here. Stand outside the gate. I'll get to you when I'm through with them. He couldn't do it. He wouldn't be allowed. When he wasn't worried about that, he knew he was cleansed. And he went back to praise God. The others could have still gone to the temple, but they could have come back and praised him. They could have given thanks, but they didn't. God expects us to give him thanks. He doesn't make us. That's a choice. He expects us to praise him. He expects us, when we do that, he will give us salvation. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 on the screen. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Billy Graham used to be quoted as saying 50 or 60% of the church rolls lost. Why? Because of the lack of a personal relationship with the living, loving God. When's the last time you actually did a devotion on your own without having to come to church to do it? When was the last time you got down on your knees and said, God, forgive me, a sinner? When was the last time? It doesn't happen. These guys were standing on the side of the road. They had no idea what church was about anymore. And they cried out, have pity on us. Whether they wanted money, whether they wanted food, whether they wanted clothing, whether they just wanted pity, they were rejected, they were outcasts. This is how they lived, and this is how they survived. And they had no idea that day, just calling out to Jesus in a kind of a cursory manner, they had no idea that day what God was going to do and how their lives were going to be changed. And what a difference it was going to make. And that their story was going to be told for all eternity. That only one of the 10 came back and praised God and thanked him for the goodness that he had done in their lives. They were earthbound and they missed, 9 of them were earthbound and missed their heavenly reward. They were so focused on themselves that they didn't bring praise to God for anything. And they failed to recognize the presence of God in their life. So look at this statement. The 9 may have been declared clean by the priest, but the one was declared saved by Jesus. Amen. Now what's more important? That we have a ceremony or that we have a salvation? 81 children have made professions of faith in Jesus Christ at Walhalla Elementary School in the last 5 years. They're not coming to this church. So why are we doing it? Because we're giving God the praise for the children's lives, for the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Because we're being hammered right now. They're trying to stop it. It's in every elementary school in the upstate right now with about 2 or 3 exceptions. I'm talking about all the way across the upstate. And there's people out there trying to stop it. But we're going to keep doing it as long as God gives us breath. Rise and go. Because your faith has made you well. Many of you in here have a rise and go ministry. I bet you hadn't thought about it that way. We talked about just the cakes and ice cream to the local jail once a month. That's a rise and go ministry. What's your rise and go ministry? It's a good thing. Everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do something in a rise and go type ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't care what the world says. We don't care that people are out after us. We're going to give God thanks for what he gives us in our rise and go ministry to go out there and be salt and light and a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. In Revelation This one's not on the screen. It says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory, to receive honor, to receive power. For you created all things, and by your will all things exist and were created. We give thanks for our lives and for who we are and what He's doing in our lives." Final statement, the way I've got it. Those who do not know Christ are the most ungrateful people in the world. And I see ungratefulness all over the place. And when we're complaining, that's what we look like. And that's why I said last week, I'm going to stop complaining. I'm going to start thanking God. Romans chapter 1 verse 21 says, "For although they knew the Lord," they knew about Him, "they did not honor Him," not as God, not in their lives, "nor did they give thanks by their actions." Paul said to Timothy, "But understand this, that in the last days," and folks, we are in the last days. It couldn't possibly be another millennial before the Lord comes back. "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty." It's going to get bad. "For people who will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy." That's what Paul said to Timothy, the young preacher there in one of the churches they did establish. But thankfulness changes everything. Did you know, and these are by studies, I think this is a Barna report. If you're a thankful person, not a complainer, it will reduce your stress. It will reduce your blood pressure. It will reduce your recovery time from surgery and injury. It reduces suicide rates. It reduces addictions. It reduces criminal behavior. It reduces divorces. It reduces depression. It reduces the mortality rate. Gratefulness does a lot of good things for us. One more on the screen. Those who choose complaining as their lifestyle will spend their lifetime in the wilderness. But those who choose thankfulness as their lifestyle will enter into the promised land. Now we know what we're talking about here, because those who complained after the spies went in and came back never saw the promised land. They spent the rest of their life in the wilderness, and that's where they died. But those who said, but God has given it to us, it's where we're to go, it's what we're to do, they got to enter into the promised land. By minimizing our blessings and by maximizing our complaining, we will remain in the wilderness all of our life. If we want revitalization, we got to stop complaining and start giving thanks to God. We got to stop being negative and start being positive for the Lord. That doesn't mean we don't look at reality and understand there are things that need to be done, but we need to change our attitude. It's our attitude, not somebody else's, that needs to be changed. Psalm 107 verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances. In everything give thanks," King James says, "for this is the will of God for you and me in Christ Jesus." Give thanks. Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." And then in Colossians 3:15 it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Since we're members of one body and we are called to peace and to be thankful." And one more. Psalm 69:30. "I will praise God's name. I will do it in song, and I will glorify Him with thanksgiving." Are you a complainer or are you a thanksgiver? Let's pray. Father in heaven, forgive us for our complaints. Like the children of Israel, we never had enough. We could never be satisfied. We prayed for more. And you punished them, and you may very well punish us. Unless we repent of our complaining and begin to give you thanks in all things. Lord, it's hard to do that because we want to be in control, but by giving thanks, we give you the control. We want to be the boss, but by giving thanks, we make you the boss. So, Father, help us to recognize your presence here today. Speak into our hearts. If we want revitalization at College Street Baptist Church, if we want it to come out throughout our association of Baptist churches in this county and maybe to spread throughout the state, Lord, we've got to stop complaining and start giving thanks and worshiping the one true God with all of our heart, with all of our spirit, Lord. And it's got to start in me. It's got to start in us, one person at a time. Forgive us. Lift us up. Say, rise and go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. If your life is consumed with Christ when you wake up in the morning till you go to bed at night. David Shirley has sometimes in his prayer says, and Lord, when we pillow our head, may we be able to smile and say we've done all that we know to do and we've pleased you. Is that your prayer? It's mine. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. If you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day. God is calling. If you need to rededicate your life, repent of sin, whatever, today is the day. This is the time to join. Today is the day. Let's stand. And with all our hearts, let's sing. Turn our eyes upon Jesus. Don gave me a little book Wednesday, and I read it just like that. I'm going to ask a question today, Don, but I'm not going to answer it. I'm going to ask the question that next Sunday I'm going to answer. What are you? Are you a carrot? Are you an egg? Or are you a coffee bean? We'll answer it next week. Let's pray. Father, as we dismiss, we give you praise. We thank you. We are going to thank you and praise you with all of our life, with all of our heart, mind, and soul until Jesus comes. And for that, we thank you because he's coming again. So forgive us of our sin and show us your mercy and grace and tell us to arise and go once again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.